for meeting today as to portfolio committee to see the presentation, a briefing on the district mall that was launched by the president and the government, so that we have understanding how, as a member of parliament, as we are going to do our oversight, as we are going to interact with government, would have the knowledge on what is expected on this district model. We invited COCTA with us to, because they are the champion of the district model, to come and brief us on the model. I'm now going to invite COCTA and the team, they must introduce themselves.
Good afternoon, Chairperson. My name is Themba Fotse. I'm the Deputy Director General in COCTA, responsible for local government support. And also responsible for the work that the department is doing around the district development model. I'm also joined by Chief Director Josiah Lungi. We have, Chairperson, circulated the presentation to the Secretariat. I will request that if you allow, Chair, they can maybe project it so that we can then take the committee and honorable members through the presentation. Thank you.
Thank you, Minister. Are you able to put it on the trip?
Yes, because I'm trying to put it on screen. Is it not there now?
No, it's there.
Can you see the presentation?
Yeah, it's there. We can see it.
Okay.
Yes, Chairperson. Should I go ahead, Chairperson?
Yes, proceed.
From my side, I don't know from the other members, but from my side, I cannot see the presentation, but I have a quote. Oh, okay. Yeah, it's up. It keeps on appearing and disappearing. Sure.
I'm like you, DD, for see, I can't see anything. DD, for see.
Yes,
I can't see anything. I'm like you, too.
Yes, it's still not clear in the screen.
I can look it all right.
Okay, I don't know how many members actually have the same problem. But I do have a code, so I can go through the presentation, Chair, if you allow. Of course, depending on whether other people are able to see.
Honourable members, Honourable Mkhalipi, the screen is clear. And Honourable members, are you able to see the presentation? Honourable
members? It's not clear. Yes, you can see it. Yeah, it's fine now.
It's fine. Yes, yeah. You are able to see it. Yes, thank you. Thank you very much. Let's proceed.
Okay, thank you, Chair. So the first slide is just that if we start from slide 2, we are reflecting, Chairperson, on the decisions of the Presidential Coordinating Council. The Cabinet to the district development model in August of 2019. Subsequently, we then met, the president convened the presidential coordinating council with all the premiers, and the decision of that PCC was really to bring provinces on board. And the decisions that were taken in that meeting was firstly that all spheres of government will be implementing the district model. As part of implementing the district model, we are going to implement a shared services at municipal level. The shared services is really meant for hands-on support in terms of dedicated capacity to assist municipalities. And thirdly, it was agreed that as a start, we will pilot the implementation of the district model in three districts. First one being the OR Tambo, followed by Echegwin as a metro, and thirdly, Waterberg. And those pilots were recognized in terms of the uniqueness of the different spaces. A metro, because of the nature of a metropolitan municipality, but with the two districts. One is a rural district, OR Tambo, and Waterberg being a mining district. So all those were done already. And the fourth decision was that we need to, at a political level, cabinet and also the provincial level, there will be what is called district champion, provincial champions, who will oversee the implementation the implementation of the district model. On slide three, deals with the objectives, Jefferson, of the district development model. Slide three basically lists the objectives, which are really meant to solve, firstly, the silos, to solve the fragmentation and duplication in how we implement both horizontally and vertically as the three spheres. Secondly, to maximize the impact of how government, as all of government, the three spheres, work together in a coherent way at a municipal level in terms of ensuring that we align our plans, our budget, through what is called one district, one plan, and one budget. Thirdly, to narrow the distance between the people and government, in terms of ensuring that we are able to strengthen the capacities of government to implement at a district and at a metro level. The other important objective is to also, through this coordinated and coherent approach of all of government, begin to address issues of inclusivity in terms of ensuring that there is gender budgeting, which addresses the needs and aspirations of our people at the community level, and strengthening the nation, the monitoring and evaluation of government work at the district level, and implementing a balanced approach that ensures that this is the differentiation between urban and rural, address the interconnectedness of rural and urban areas. I tolerate all of government initiatives that are targeted at addressing poverty, eradication, employment, and equality. If we move to the next slide, slide four, Chair, going also on the objectives again, the district development model, what it does, it provides a vehicle for all the three spheres and stakeholders outside of government to be more impact orientated in terms of how within government we address planning, budgeting, and implementation. We have three spheres of government that all have constitutional responsibility to plan, to budget, and to implement. And the only space, all of these spheres that they implement at municipal level. This model then provides a vehicle of ensuring that there's integration and there's coherent and targeted implementation at the municipal level. And what that does, it assists us to overcome some of the current pitfalls, challenges in terms of misalignment of our plans. And there are examples in that slide that are made there of building a correct number of schools according to where the population is and determining whether we need new schools or we need transport systems. And then how do we provide sanitation, water and sanitation to those schools? So the approach provides an integrated approach of how we plan as the state. On slide five, the outcomes that we want to achieve with the district development model is one of building a capable and healthy local state. So it's aligned with our seven priorities of government, and also improving the capacity of local government, improve our cooperative constitutional obligations of Chapter 3 in terms of improving cooperative governance. And if we are able to improve the capability of government, it then means that we'll be able to provide communities with seamless delivery of services, and communities will experience government that is functional in their spaces. We'll be able to align our plans and budgets across the three spheres in a way that is targeted and takes advantage of the opportunities at a local level. And all of these plans are informed by IDPs and needs of communities. If we move to the next slide, slide six just indicates, Chair, the alignment of this district model approach with the national development plans, priorities of government, but also it provides an opportunity for us to work in a more coherent way, where there's no parachuting of national or provincial programs in central ways, but we can all work on what we refer to as one plan. The one plan is meant to be an expression of all of government at a local level. The one plan indicated is a strategic framework which must guide all of government, and also the private sector and stakeholders outside of government on what needs to be in a particular space. And that one plan worked through a collaborative process, through a consultative process, which will result in a shared and a common vision of what needs to be done in one particular space. And then this leads also to form a social contract or social compact with communities where they will be able to know what is it that government is planning to do in their space, because that one plan would have expressed all of government. I will come back later to elaborate on this point, Chair. Just in terms of progress, Chair, the pilots were launched in the three pilot sites between September and November. We started by developing comprehensive profiles of these spaces, which those profiles give us a good baseline of understanding and the state of development in each space. So we're talking about 52 spaces, and these 52 spaces are made up of the 44 district municipalities and the 8. So we have developed profiles of all of these places. Those profiles look at the demographic profile. We look at the state, the population, the levels of poverty, levels of education, the health status of the district. It's a comprehensive program that gives us a good state of what is the state of that district. It goes on that. We also looks at what are the programs, budgets, and projects that national and provincial government, including projects of the municipality, that are being implemented in that space. So we assess all of those in terms of the current commitment, but also future projections. So as it relates to the three pilot sites, if you move to slide 9, relates to the three sites, we were able to, based on the assessment and the approach as explained, we were able to get budgets of national governments, budgets of national governments, and budgets of the municipality in the three pilot sites. And the table there gives you, so if you look at Owatambo, national government is spending about 5.2 billion, 5.4 billion, and the municipality has a budget of 648 million. So overall, you look at 11.2 billion. And this is money budget that is committed to that municipality. And it comes out of the profiles. After having analyzed projects and budgets of all national and provincial, including the municipalities, you can also see for Echegwini and Waterberg. The percentage is above. It does give you the of the national fiscals in terms of how much overall is collected and how much each year is spending. The lessons, Chair, if you move to slide 10, the lessons that we have identified in the three pilot sites, what came out in the three pilot sites was the high number of youth unemployment. Over time, just alone, have over 80% youth unemployment. You have a high number of women and child-headed households. There's challenges of low economic growth in these areas, despite the huge potential that these areas have. And because of the conditions that these areas find themselves in, there's also, to some extent, a disintegration of social fabric, where there's high sort of levels of violence against women, rape, and if we move to slide 11, slide 11 also, Chair, provides a sense of some of the lessons that we have identified. So despite the challenges experienced in these district, there's huge potential. So if you take the three, there's huge untapped potential of agriculture, tourism, as it relates to Owatambo, the ocean's economy, but as it relates to Waterberg, is the mining potential. And these are areas that are not fully tapped into, despite the huge potential pipeline. So if you take agriculture, it contributes about 2% to the GDP of the district. And this is a rural with a huge potential. The blue ocean's economy, there's nothing much that is invested in that area, including tourism. despite you know, the beautiful scenery and so on that is in that area with that potential, but there's nothing much that is spent in terms of unlocking that potential. If you move to the next slide, 12, Chair. 12, the lessons just on all the three identified. What came very clear was that there's poor integration and coordination of government programs. We identified, for example, in Ouar Tambo, we had over 5 departments that were all targeting that high number of youth unemployment. But if you look at those programs, we have a budget of over 100 million budgeted for youth training programs. And these training programs are not talking to each other, but also there's no clear plan of how these youth, after receiving training, what opportunities are going to be created for these youth, or how are they to be absorbed into job opportunities and so on. So it's claiming that focused on giving the youth a certificate without clear sort of program of how that they'll actually be benefiting after that training. The other area is the issue of NPA rationale of projects. In some of the areas we identified, there were villages where state-of-the-art schools have been built, but the reality is that in some of those villages, you don't have learners. So you have a match between building of schools in areas that are no learners, but in areas where you have a high number of learners, but there's not enough sort of school buildings to accommodate them. The other lesson was that sectors are not collaborating as it relates to implementation. So there's a silo approach in how sectors are implementing their programs. And the other challenge that we identified was that many of the projects are not spatially mapped. So there are projects we cannot actually be able to say this project from National is implemented in this village, in this ward. You cannot follow that. The areas where there are challenges around the skills gap. So what we've done, Chair, based on the lessons from the three pilots, if we go to slide 18, we then developed an approach of how do we institutionalize the implementation of the model. And we adopted a five-pronged approach towards the institutionalization. The first one, I'm on slide 13. The person who's moving the slide is moving faster than me. I'm on slide 13. Slide 13 just gives you the five areas that informs our approach. Firstly, strengthening political leadership to oversee the process. Secondly, address issues of intergovernmental planning, budgeting and implementation. The third area is on structures for coordinating the implementation. And the fourth is the information system and the dashboard. And the last one is the legal and social reforms. I'm going to elaborate on each of them. So the first one on providing political leadership in slide 14, as I've indicated, Chair, the President has deployed members of state ministers, city ministers, as champions to each of the 52 districts and metros. Provinces have also appointed MECs in this regard. The idea is to ensure that at a political level, there's ownership in terms of providing oversight and providing leadership in the rollout of the district model, and that there's integration, collaboration across the three tiers. The second approach is the one of addressing issues of intergovernmental planning, budgeting and implementation. The issue here is that we want to align the one plant. The one plant that we are referring to here, it's one plant that are going to be informed by IDPs of municipalities, the provincial growth and development plans of provinces, and the national priorities of government, the MPSF priorities, which are expressed in the sector plans of the various departments. So that one plan per district, which is why we're referring to as a one plan, one district plan. It will be an expression based on the baseline in terms of the profile that gives us a sense of what is the state of development in that area, but also what are the challenges, what are the needs and relation of communities. And if we are working as one government, well, then all through the one plan have one sort of response intervention of how we respond to issues of economic growth, how you develop agricultural sector, how you address youth challenges of youth unemployment, and take advantage of the opportunities that are availed in these spaces. So that one plan, as I've indicated, is an alignment of all the three CS plans expressed in the one plan. The next area, Chair, is the one of the structures for coordination and monitoring. So the IGR structures that are already provided for in the Intergovernmental Relations Framework Act are going to be utilized for coordinating the implementation. At the national level, the President, through the President Coordinating Council, will meet with the Premiers. The Premiers, through the Premier Coordinating Forums, will also meet with the Mayors of Municipalities. At the district level, the district mayor will also, through the district IGR forum, meet with the mayors of the local municipalities. And that's the spine that we're going to use for coordinating the implementation. In addition to this, we are in the process of establishing district hubs. These district hubs will establish capacity at a district level, not just in terms of the institution, the municipality, but district as a regional sort of space where we will then be coordinating all of government's programs in that district. And of course, these district hubs will work directly with the district municipality and support the district municipality in how it interacts with the local municipalities in the implementation of these one plans. In addition, Chair, as I've indicated, we'll also be seconding officials through at district shared services, where if we're able to establish, so one of the challenges in Waterberg that we identified is challenges around financial management and also issues around audit outcome. If you look at the past 5 years, there's been indication in terms of there's been serious challenges on the audit outcome, but also generally capacity to deal with financial management. So the shared services will be targeting such areas. If there are challenges with service delivery, we'll bring support in terms of through these shared services to deal with specific areas of challenge within that district. What we're doing now, Chair, with the COVID, we also will be aligning the district model with the structures for coordinating COVID-19 intervention and response plans. And we'll ensure that as we will improve the profiles to also give us a sense of the spatial mapping of the spread of the virus, which must inform what interventions or response plans needs to be put in place to curb the spread of the virus. On slide 17, this whole district model, Chair, is going to be anchored on an information system that will overlay all the profiles of the 52 districts and the one plans. It will overlay the COVID-19 hotspots and where there are epicenters. But also the information system will assist us in terms of monitoring and reporting because the commitments that are made in the One Plan, these are commitments that are based on APP budgets and commitments of sector departments. So for a particular year, in the APP, whatever is budgeted for a particular space, that's what the department needs to deliver on. So the reporting will also be against that. It gives opportunity to monitor and track progress around the spending of each sphere, each sector that has made commitment in that space. It will have a dashboard capability where on a regular basis we can be able to monitor. It will provide opportunities also for transparency and accountability. The last approach or pillar of this implementation, Chair, is the legal and the policy reform. This district model, Chair, is going to be anchored on a legislated provision. Section 47 of the IGR Act provides for the Minister of Culture to provide regulations that must govern or regulate the alignment of plans across the three spheres. And so the district model is a mechanism then of how that alignment must actually take place, which expresses clear budget commitments to a particular space. And it will actually encourage that in how we budget and plan as all the spheres, we must be able to specially map our budget. So any national department, it must be able to say if there is a budget for a particular, whether it's human settlement, you must be able to account on where that budget is going to be spent, which district, which locality within that district, and how much is going to be spent there. So that's the kind of sort of special budgeting that we're referring to. In the process of also strengthening the legislation, we want to look at how we review the whole planning regime in the Systems Act and also rationalizing the many planning instruments that are in the system currently. So those are the five pillars that will guide the whole sort of institutionalization of the implementation of the district model. Chair, as you are aware, we launched the district model and conceptualized it before COVID. And now we're in the process of ensuring that the implementation of the district model is mainstream and aligned to taking forward the stage that we're in. So we're reviewing the implementation plan so that we're able to update the profile and include in this district their COVID-19 response plans, not just of the district, but of all the spheres. So whatever province is planned, national and also local government. I've also referred to the other areas there. If you move to slide 20, so the overarching approach which we're going to be focusing on now, because COVID is still going to be with us, Chair, for the next 2 years or more, the approach is to ensure that this COVID-19 response plan are driven through the district model. And also apply a differentiated approach on how we deal with the COVID response. There are areas that are epicenters currently of COVID where there's high sort of concentration of the infections. They require a particular sort of response. And there are areas in other provinces where that there are no there's no infections at this stage, but they need to ready themselves for any eventuality. So it will be implementing a differentiated approach on how we respond to these different areas. But the specific interventions that we're looking at is collecting this real data on these areas also map the infections and the spread, the quarantine sites, all the public spaces. And this is intelligent information that must inform, it's evidence-based to inform decision-making, but also coordinate all the these interventions through the whole plan. We have also noticed that already there are challenges in terms of because government is implementing these interventions. In some instances, there's confusion in terms of powers and functions, but the district model, what it does, it encourages more collaboration where there's areas that need clarity in terms of who is responsible for what, who will be able to actually address those in a more coordinated and in a collaborative way. The next slide, from slide 21, we're just reflecting on the work that COCHA has done. Slide 21, we're just reflecting on the work that COCHA has done in terms of the minister issuing regulations on the steps for prevention and the escalation of and containing the spread of the virus. We're referring to structures that have been established already for coordinating the National Coronavirus Command Council at national, at the provincial, and also at the district level. And these political structures are supported by operational and technical structures, your disaster operation centers across the three spheres, and the NET joints, PROF joints, and the job at the local level. And these are structures that are currently coordinating the COVID response plans. Some of the work also that we are reflecting on slide 22 is some of how we are organized at the national level and provincial level in terms of the various work streams that are coordinating these response plans. And those are some of the ones that are listed there. The one on Intelligence Coordinating Committee, the Public Health Infections Containment Workstream, there's an Economic Workstream, Legal Workstream, and the Social Impact Workstream. All of these are guiding the reports that are presented to these command councils across the three spheres. And the coordination of this information is done across the three spheres. So we receive contact daily reports of the work that is done at a district level. The province consolidate those reports and they are sent to national. We then also look at those and process them through the joints, which then they would find expression and be presented at the command council. So we are involved in all of these areas. And the coordination, so if you move to the next slide, 22 and 23, Chair, these are just some of the indication of the work that COC in particular has started doing, particularly as it relates to the coordination of service delivery infrastructure intervention. We are working closely with the Department of Water and Human Water and Sanitation and Human Settlement in terms of how we address the infrastructure and the water challenges. We have reprioritized our budget, our grant to the MIG, the Disaster Relief Grant, to ensure that we are able to respond to the immediate and emergency challenges of water and sanitation. We have developed an economic recovery strategy which will inform the stimulus package on how we spend the monies that President announced, the 20 billion. But also we continue the collaboration with through MISA and PWS in terms of provision of whether it's drilling of boreholes, and the PWS will deal with the tankering and provision of water storages and so on. So these are the interventions which we are currently involved in. But all of this work, going forward, we is going to be anchored on the district model to ensure that there's one coordinated program of government overall that responds to COVID, but also it's not just about only responding now to COVID, but also to look at going beyond post-COVID to look at issues of economic recovery. How do we create more job opportunities for our people, recognizing the impact that COVID has brought into these district areas in terms of increased levels of poverty, increased levels of unemployment. So we will need to respond to that reality, but also to actually ensure that the measures that government has put in place as part of implementing the COVID response plans are sustained beyond COVID. We have managed to, government has managed to demonstrate that it can work in a more integrated and coherent way in terms of how we've responded to COVID. Our people now, areas where they didn't have water and so on, they're able to receive what we must then sustain all of these interventions beyond COVID. So these are just an indication of those. And the district development model, Chair, provides that vehicle of ensuring that we work as one government in a seamless way to deliver in a specially targeted way at a municipal level. Chairperson, that's the end of my presentation. Thank you very much.
You can't hear the chairperson. Can you hear me, the other chairperson?
Yeah, we can hear you. No, the other chairman, we can't hear, but we can hear you.
The portfolio of committee, you can hear me. You can the hear myself.
The chairperson is still struggling with the audio on her side.
Can I continue in the meantime? People who want to interact with the presentation show of friends quickly.
Teresa, please.
Teresa.
Grunewald, please, Chair.
Kalipi. Ngwezi, you were the first one to raise the hand. Can you start? You were the first one to raise the hand. You will start in that order. Thank you.
Okay.
Proceed. So.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair, Mthambi, and all members of the COGTA Portfolio Committee, the Chair, Mrs. Manya, and members of the Department of Human Settlement, Water and Sanitation Portfolio Committee, Honorable Members, DG and the team. I just have three questions, Honorable Chair. The first one is with regards to the budget that is allocated for the pilot project of this district development model. It's about 71 billion rand for this financial year. And what I would like to know is that out of the allocated budget per metropolitan municipality or municipality, how much has been used so far? I see in the table in the 35 billion and so on and so forth. So how much has been used so far? And second, the second question is that I see that when the identification of these municipalities was made, a consideration to rural municipalities also was actually put in place. And I would like to know whether the Khotsi, Amakhotsi in those areas are brought on board to be part of this project, because in other areas, if we leave behind traditional leadership, into two esijahukuthi yenzeke ngokukhulu ukusheshe. So ngifisa ukwazi ukuthi amakhosi ngakuba yingxenye yini yazo zonke iy'nhlelo lezi ey'khona. Umbuzo wokugcina, honorable chair, is that youth unemployment has been, you know, identified as in one of the municipalities as sitting at 80%. And I would like to know whether, you know, according to the youth development, I mean, according to the district development model, are there any interventions, quick interventions, to address that particular matter? Because at least all government levels are actually planning together, and they know what are the quick wins. Thank you very much, Chair.
Honorable Ngwezi, Honorable Nancy Sidwai.
Thank you, Chairperson. Good afternoon, all my colleagues or my two chairs and the other members from COGTA and the Human Settlement. That's two clarities, Chair. I think the model, the district model on the basis of the principles, I think it's a good attempt for government to perform effectively and efficiently. But I want to raise the issue that this model was initially known as IG framework. And I think the analysis that is given by COGTA, which I really appreciate on identifying the weaknesses and the strengths, are to go to a correct direction. But two issues that always in my mind. When we talk about misalignment and alignment, I think the budgeting process becomes critical at the center after planning. The municipalities, provinces, and the national government, they have got no budgeting process that is unified. They are not budgeting at the same time. And the IDPs of municipalities, as they are planned leading the process, how do we make sure that the alignment happens immediately in this strategy so that budgeting follows very clear process of planning in unity between the three spheres, so that there is no other sphere that comes to the other and want to bulldoze another sphere about a particular project. That projects are planned consistently in oneness, and then budget they come. I think in the plans that I hear, that issue needs to be looked into. I am happy to hear that because these spheres have got their own powers that are legislated, that COPCA is going to come with an overall regulation that encompasses all those powers to be one. A typical example of the municipality. When the national minister has sent money to the municipality and the province of USDG, and when that money comes to the municipality, the minister is absent. He cannot instruct them to do something else about that money, regardless that it was sent by her, because that money now is in the coffers of the municipality, and those are powers of the municipality. So I'm trying to really analyze the problems that have been there, which I would like to hear today, that how do we make this model to work as we had an IGR, which didn't work well, and how do we dovetail, navigate within the powers of its sphere for the model to work. Thank you, Chairperson.
Honorable Seki.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, there are a few points that I've raised here. I've noted. The one I think Member Nancy have already covered, the issue of the IGR. This is exactly IGR. And I think even the presentation does reflect IGR in it, which is good to avoid duplication. But I think if the department can reflect the planning and budgeting process, Chairperson, you know, these things will need to be budgeted for. Municipality will say we want to build a road somewhere. The department will say we want to build a dam. The department will say we want to build a mine, and all different projects of the economy. How is that budgeting process initiated? And the area of deployment of ministers, because I hear that ministers should be deployed as custodian of different districts. Now, a minister would be accounting for a national department, if that could be explained further. There's an issue, you know, when we come to things like these, there's an issue of consultation, and consultation costs so much, especially when you use consultants. Now, this project to bring local, province, and national, it can be a very continuous project that doesn't come to an end. And then how is the department going to look at that? The last one, Chair, just a correction. On the page, I can't remember, the one that has got a 71 billion budget, on the waterbed, the total there says 40 something. It's 25 billion, so I think that should be corrected. But the 71 billion in total is correct. It's Waterberg, Oar Tambo, and Etegwin. Now the last one, additions were not done correctly. So if you have not added 10 billion, you can imagine. Thank you very much.
Speaker on my list is Honorable Mkalipi.
Okay, I just wanted to get some clarifications from the DDG. He used to be the acting DG.
Can you turn on your camera, please? We want to see you.
Please. But I think the network is cheating with me. That's why I'm switching off my camera, because I'm not stable in terms of the network. I just want to get a clarity on the slide that talks about the budget. And this slide is talking about those pilot projects that this plan or this program have started in support. Our Tambo is going to be given or has been given by National for 5.2 billion. Province have also contributed 5.4 billion. And the local, which is the municipality, which is OR Tambo, is and Ethekwini and Waterberg, they also in the sequence. But I'm interested on OR Tambo because it's the only local municipality that, when you compare them with these other two, which are the priorities or a pilot at, is the only OR Tambo that has a small amount to contribute to it. So to get from the PG, it did it because it's just a pilot project of the three municipalities for the project. And then if we can get, give us the clear picture, because other colleagues have been also raising the very same concern, if the budget is not very clear, how are we going to achieve all what the DG has put forward as a plan? Because this picture for these three pilot municipalities gives us a clear picture that there's no capacity revenue from the OR. That is one point. The second thing is in terms of plans. They have started this launch or this project or this plan last year, and it's 8 months now. So I am of the district model is COVID-19. So therefore, I just want to get clarity from him, as I'm sure you'll agree with me, that in terms of planning, it's a problem now because COVID needs action. It needs implementation. To say that now, how do they link between this project and COVID-19? For instance, Chair, if I may make an example, people live in a place whereby there is crisis for water. So the Department of Water and Sanitation, they must just make sure, and the municipality, that they support that particular community with water. So now, how do you move forward from planning and to implementation because of COVID now? How do they find to link the two? Also, he mentioned that they're supposed to be a champion. The most critical and important and challenges of the municipalities is capacity. It's capacity from the administration, which is our official. It's capacity in terms of political leadership of municipalities. So now, the plan is not going to be successful if the issue of capacity, especially at the political level, that they're supposed to be champion of this model, is not addressed. So I think the DDG must come very clean on that aspect, because we all must have to agree that if we can't zoom in on the real problem that the municipalities are facing with, we can come with all problems. The local government started in 1990. Now it's almost 2023 in a democracy. It can't be seen as if we are new to local government challenges. And all plans that they put in place The department must tell us why did it fail. Because it's not the first attempt to make sure that the local municipality works for the people. So they must tell us from the beginning what happened, why this particular model will work this time. Because we can come here and do the beautiful presentation, talk about beautiful English, but the fact of the matter, there is huge challenges there that include capacity and the political will. The third one, Chair, which is the last one, is the issue of corruption. I know many municipalities, they get away with corruption. And this document that is presented by the DPG does not address the issue of corruption on local municipalities. We are going to come again in the next 5 years to receive another plan which won't work. Because we are not Zumo, we are not diagonizing exactly what is the problem in the local government. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Honorable Kaliti. Honorable Hussein.
Chair, thank you very much. May I just make this one comment first? I think that, and I want to encourage my colleagues on the Portfolio Committee, throw this document and give it to somebody in their constituency. Help them to read and tell you what's in this document and if they understand it. Try that, please. I encourage you to do that. Because this document, if I read it, I think some of us maybe will understand it on the Portfolio Committee because we get the detail and we understand the background. But please, man, when you write these documents, leave all this bureaucratic government jargon out. And write these documents in a simple way, if that a member of the public is watching this, they will understand how their lives are going to change if you implement this new model. Because anybody who reads this document will probably think you are trying to design a hub. You can't understand exactly what you are trying to achieve from this thing. So I just want to make that one appeal, please. And let me give you one simple example. When we went at Kopta to Limpopo, we've heard in some municipalities they pay 2 million rand to get their annual reports and their asset register done. And then we go to another municipality and they pay 7 million. And you go to another municipality and they pay 12 million. Now, the question I put to you is on this. Is the district development model designed to ensure that that kind of duplication does not happen? Because if the answer to that question is correct, is yes, then the district development model, I think, will go a long way in trying to help us to reduce expenditure and redirect that money to the things that genuinely matter. Because as Honorable Kalipi has talked about, is that for 25 years now, we've had all sorts of plans. But when we go to do oversight on the ground, there are people still living in shacks. The chairperson put a picture the other day of her oversight where the issue is running on the streets. And there are people don't even have water that to this day, because of COVID-19, we must go and deliver JoJo tanks. After 25 years of local government. And now we've got this plan. And you have this big launch. Please can you tell me how the lives of people are going to change on the ground with this plan? That's all we want to know. Well, I'm personally not interested in slide number 9, 10, or 11. The only thing I would like to know is how is this plan going to change the lives of the people on the ground and accelerate the service delivery that we have wasted for 25 years. Granted, we've made a lot of progress, and it will be unfair to create the impression that we have not. We all accept that we've made a lot of progress, but we mustn't stop making progress. We must progress faster than what we've done over the last 25 years. So please can you give me an answer to that very direct question. How is the district development model going to speed up service delivery and change the lives of the people on the ground? The second thing I want to ask you is this. In 2 years from now, you're going to come back and give us another presentation. And I'm going to ask you what difference the district development model made since your introduction as opposed to the way we've been operating in the past. There aren't any indicators or any examples that you're giving us. How do we hold the department accountable through some indicators or some delivery mechanisms to say, Honorable Hussein, in the past, this is how it was being done, and this is what we achieved. But now, because of the district development model, this is how things have changed. Can you just give us those indicators? What are you going to use as a means to determine success of the district development model? My difficulty is that when we go to some municipalities, we find some very useless people working there. Some of them can't even change the light bulb. We've seen it. Now you're going to use the same useless people to introduce this model. What difference is it going to make? So it frustrates me when the department comes to tell us about plans rather than show us how many houses are going to be built and how many more people are going to get water on the street. That's the thing that I would really like to, I'm more interested in rather than page 9 and 12 and 15. If you can please give us those answers, I will really be very, very grateful. But I have no doubt that there are some very positive elements of the district developmental model, provided that it is implemented properly by professional people who know what they're doing and not useless people who have been stealing the people's money for years. Thank you very much.
Honorable
Mashallah,
I've noted you. I'm using you in the exchange. I have the list of all of you also. You are on my list, Honorable Mashallah.
Okay, no, thank you.
Yes. Can I confirm so that people mustn't be anxious? I've honored Honorable Mvana as well. It's Honorable Mamkize and Honorable Kheza. You are on my list, okay? Proceed, Honorable Honorable.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, yes, I want to align me with the sentiments of the previous speakers to say, yes, it looks like a new plan, but is it really a new plan? There's two parts of that I saw of the presentation. One is the identifying of the problems. I think the Auditor General, if anyone reads the Auditor General reports on most of the municipalities, all of those are already included in that. So in short states, there's a lack of political leadership, but I'll come back to that as well. Firstly, I want to speak in terms of the cooperation between governance. In the last 25 years, it did not work and even worsen over the last 10 years under state capture. We see it even with the command councils currently, where local municipalities just ignore steps set out by district command centers. Without interfering in the municipality's governance, how are you going to get the municipality to work with you in this model? Especially taking ANC infighting and faction fighting into account, and then also the 10 entrepreneurs that has a big say in some of the municipalities, how are we going to get those people out if this plan has to work? I want to align my as well to say that I see no way in the case.
Can the member withdraw what he said about the ANC? There's nothing to do with the ANC here. We are dealing with government issues. Can the member withdraw the factionalities in the ANC? It's got nothing to do with him in this presentation. Please.
Chair, there is no rule that suggests that members may not refer to any political party in the portfolio committee. So the honourable member must withdraw his request to withdraw, please.
Yes, Chairperson, I want to align myself, and if the honourable member just go and read the Auditor General's report, even the Auditor General report alluded in his own concerted reports. So I don't see what the problem of the member.
The problem is that you are out of order. That's my problem. You can't bring the ANC to this debate.
You are out of order. Can we talk through all this and we must stop wasting time, colleagues? Eh? Can we deal with this matter to say the order that is being said, the ANC factionalism and whatever, I think there's one report that says cancel factionalism, maybe for now, deal with the factionalism in the municipality. We all know who's doing that. For the sake of progress, Honorable Khumavat. Factionalism and cancel is a reality. But I don't recall an audit general that say especially ANC or EFF councillors or DA councillors. So, but factionalism, I've seen that in the report. That's what is there. When countries are not dealing, but the reality, maybe you are raising it in line with the fact that most of the countries are run by the ANC, fine, but let's deal with the substance matters here. Can we move, Honorable Bruno Vard, for the sake of time?
You have thank you, Chairperson.
The point of federalism and your infighting. We've noted that. Proceed.
Thank you, Spirit Chairperson. Yes, and I want to come back to the corruption. I want to see in the presentation we do not see anything about corruption and how they are going to address that. They also say that you want to get rid of the silos by more or less centralizing service delivery, but yet, if you look at what happened in the past by amalgamating municipalities with the argument that it will improve service delivery, the proof is in the pudding, and yet it has been found they have been found wanting. It is even worse service delivery with infrastructure that is collapsing with municipalities that is automating. Now, this is more or less the same plan, is to automate some of the service deliveries to say it's going to be better. And yet the proof in the pudding says it won't. Billions is being, can I say, given for infrastructure projects to municipalities through grants, assistance, different projects from different departments, MISA, and yet infrastructure is depleted. Even with all those assistances, what will the difference be with the DDM or the district development model? The problem in municipalities is not money, it's the bad management, political infighting, weak leadership, and corruption and frauds. To realign, replan, re-implement the program with a new name but with old methods will change nothing, as government over the 3 years tried to implement part or most of the parts of the DDM unsuccessfully. How will it differ this time? And then in terms of budgeting, obviously the COVID-19 have effect of national income. How are they mitigating that? And then the last one I want to ask, in terms of the presentation, you know, when there were election in Mamusa local municipality in the beginning of this year, the ANC used the district development model as the election campaign in January. Yet, if you're not, it is not included in the presentation, so I want just clarity. Is it a pilot program that did not work and therefore excluded, or wasn't there a pilot program in the Mamusa municipality? Thank you, Chairperson.
Okay, Honorable Grunewald, but I think I'll have to protect this official from answering political questions. At times, if the ANC, you'll have to ask the minister that question. But nevertheless, he has noted the substance of the question. Can I come to Honorable Mukhala? Honorable Mukhala? Can I move to Tether? I'm here.
Yes. Okay.
Sorry, Mutala. Okay.
Yes. Thanks so much, Chairperson. Let me start by welcoming the presentation from COPTA. I've got two questions. The first question is with regards to when the presenter was presenting, he talked about the issue of coherent integrated approach in identifying for services in communities. But his presentation is silent on the use of South Africa to improve his planning. Have he considered the value add of South Africa to this district development model? Number two, one of the critical components of the district development model is to provide a coordinated approach to service delivery and to hold people accountable for funds procured for pilot tests in identified districts. Recently, the president received a progress report on the rollout of the model. Could the presenter provide any consequence management for those transgressing the criteria for use of funding for pilot projects? Thank you so much. Thanks.
Honorable Kala, Honorable Ebam Chiza. Thank you, Chair Team. Chair, let me also join the chorus of welcoming the presentation, Chair. Chairperson, my question in the department is that there is this issue, Chair, as the department says,
the government is putting measures in place in this COVID-19 to make sure that people, they've got water in areas, in all areas. Chairperson, I can say to the department, if they can be specific about these areas, because if they are not specific, Chairperson, when the COVID-19 is gone, we cannot even know where can we start to go to conduct our oversight. Because we need to conduct our oversight after this COVID-19 to make sure that what they are saying here is a true reflection. Okay. I'm saying this because I can even agree with you, Honorable Hussein, to say sometimes department, they came with good papers, good everything, policies, but nothing is happening. They talk about the implementation. We want to know where they will go to implement this so that we will understand. They must be specific. They must not generalize this thing, because we are talking about the lives of the people. And the people are waiting to get water as the COVID-19 requires water coming again, people to wash their hands. Now, I want to ask the department, if this measure is in place, is the people of Limpopo and Pinguin, Eastern Cape, they are catered for in this matter? And also, I want to ask the department, is the people of local municipality in Msinga, KZN, catered for in this matter? I want to ask the department, is the people of Pine Town, Tafelkop, catered in this matter? Because we want specific things here. Because why I'm raising these issues, because these areas, they are the victim of the circumstances of corruption in municipality. And as we speak, Chairperson, there are two catalogs that they were arrested at Mnambithi Thugela municipality, who were stolen the Jojo tank, the Jojo tank and tankers. So I don't know why the government said to us. I don't know why the department said to us and not to be specific. But we want to know. As I'm saying to you, I'm specific about areas that they have problem here. And Chairperson, you see, department must be serious about the people of South Africa. They must be serious. They must not come with these good papers with good English to us. We don't want even to speak English. We are just being bossy.
I think that I share the sentiment of the members of the Portfolio Committee on COCTA in terms of the urgency of the situation faced by our people on the ground. The case in point being the people of Belhambre and the people that he has mentioned of Mpindweni, who are in desperate need of bridges, who are forced to drink water with animals and crops, who have no public transport, who have their children often sinking in the river and having to drink that water. This demonstrates that the urgency of the situation in terms of changing the lives of our people is really not the priority here. In a post-colonial, neo-colonial society like ours, we have had a situation where a consensus has been reached in terms of how do you not disturb the system by gradually changing, making smaller changes in terms of where people are living, so that you don't disrupt the system at all. Hence, there is that disparity between urban and rural. And we want to ask the presenter, the DTG, how is it that the DDM seeks to narrow the distinction between rural and urban municipalities in terms of the criteria that is used through the division of revenue formulae, given the fact that municipalities are extremely underfunded? That's one. Number two, what I didn't pick up from the presentation is the fact that the district model, how is it going to assist municipalities to combat the explicit financial flow that to give rise to a proper collection of revenue? Because currently we have companies within the municipal level that do not comply in terms of such things. So how are they going to do that? So on slide 3, so we talk about the pilot project being 71 billion. How much does the department need to implement in totality across all 44 districts and 8 metros? How much does the department really need to implement this DDM? And what impact will it have in terms of, one, that the disparities and the inequalities and that of spatial development? So those are the three things that I'm asking within that question. The last one, Chair, how will it prioritize from the programs that emanate from the IDPs? How will it prioritize the infrastructure before the infrastructure which is guaranteed with water bath service, sewage, parks, and proper recreation center within those ITP programs, before any house is erected? How is good the district development model going to assist them in terms of the urgency of the situation? Thank you very much, Chair.
Honorable Mvana. Honorable Mvana. Chairperson, human settlement, are you back?
I'm there, Chair.
Is the issue that you want to raise?
No, Chair. Let me welcome the presentation.
Hello.
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Okay. Let me welcome the presentation.
No. Who's saying, Chairperson?
It's Mvana. Okay.
Yes, I called you. You didn't respond. Then you could have sent a message problem. Or do something.
I had
to interject.
Connection problem.
Yeah, you could have text an SMS. There's a provision in the system that says text and interject the chairperson. I've noted you. Allow the chairperson to finish. You come after it.
Okay. Okay.
So,
thank you, Chair.
Sure. Thank you. Sorry about that. My apologies.
Okay, Chair. Thank you, Chair. I was saying that I want to take this opportunity to join members to welcome the presentation and indicate that we as government, we had launched IDPs which its role was to integrate all the plans of government, but it didn't work. Now you have this district model, and there are areas that I think, if they are not being tightened up, this model will have problems again. One is it talks about coordination, but coordination, if you coordination, it will be only on political leadership, leave other officials or what candlers, then it's not going to work. If coordination would actually not coordinate all the departments, including entities and other institutions that support democracy, like your state SA, your human rights commission, and all those things, then this model is going to fail like IDPs. Because IDPs, if you look at them, it's done at local level, but it doesn't have most of national departments. You'll find that they are not investing in all the areas that have been identified by municipalities, including all others, even entities of government. I want to say this model, its intention is very good, but if they are not going to define what is this coordination and define what is one plan, one budget, in the real sense where the officials and those that will be championing the model understand it, was not going to succeed. The model, for me, is not different from the IDPs. Unfortunately, the IDPs, they didn't have all the national, all the political leadership from various government levels. But with this model, it says it champion from the national government, including local municipality and district, which for me it might be very helpful if it can be like that. But the most important thing is what Honorable Mashala has raised, that if as we are planning, we are not considering what the state South Africa is saying, we are not considering what Auditor General is saying, then this model will not bear the fruit that is intended to. So, Chair, for me is that this model is very good, but what is important is to say, let's define all what we are intending to do, and I welcome the issue of regulation, that is, we need to regulate some of the activities, but we shouldn't put regulation that will again hamper service delivery itself. Because if you look at conditional grants that we have in the system, when it's supposed to be implemented at local level, you have a problem for municipality to accessing those conditional grants because of the conditions that are put with conditional grants. So I'm saying that I'm joining those that say the model is very good. Let's see how together all of us, even ourselves as we do oversight, we can then start to pinpoint that we have identified this district in various areas that we are serving as portfolio committee. What is it that is being done with these areas with your identification? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chair. Honorable Mvana. Your turn now, Chair. Thank you, Chair. I just want also to add my voice. I think the chairperson, Honorable Rosina, has partly covered me in saying this is really a good model, this one. This is a very, very good model, especially before this model took place. We were talking about the integrated.
when we talk about the integration of the program, we meant exactly this model. What I also want to say to us is firstly to understand on how this model is working, as honorable members. I've noticed some of us really doesn't have an understanding on how this model works. The other thing that I would like to say is a comment, Chair, in terms of the department. Well done to the department, but fasten up and strengthen the information, the awareness in terms of trying to cascade down the information to the grassroots level so that they can be able to understand on how this model is working. The other thing that I've noticed is that as a progressive government, really we have to modify things. This model is just a modified strategy in a way. Then let's maybe assist in terms of strengthening. The department must just pull up their socks and make sure that they evaluate and do monitoring. Thorough one before everything got into mess. Thank you, Chairperson. That was my call.
You're welcome. Thank you, Honorable Mvana. Did I omit anyone?
No.
Okay.
I would like to... Chairperson, please, may I please be given a chance to speak or to ask a question?
Who's there?
It's Honorable Mokhotu, Shelly Mokhotu.
Okay. You are more than welcome, Honorable Member. Come in.
Thank you, Chair. I would like to ask the following question. How is the model going to assist the municipalities in dealing with the following challenges? Inadequate planning, long-term infrastructure investment planning, preventative maintenance planning, renewal of existing infrastructure, and sound repairs and maintenance. And then another question is that if you go to Mamusa, the community of what sits in Mamusa have been experiencing a sewer spillage since last year on the streets of Mamusa in Northwest. And then the municipality there promised the people that they'll fix that problem. Until up to now, the problem has not been solved. Yet, according to the model promises that because it has been implemented, there will be reliable and quality basic services where people are staying. Yet the people of Mamusa are still suffering. They are not experiencing what the model is promising them. And then another question is the district development model talks of peer review. If implementation is not undertaken by one or the other component of this initiative, what exactly does this entail? Have there been peer review reports provided? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, colleagues. Mine to you, DG Fosi. This issue of the regulation, when are you anticipating them to be released? I'm echoing the sentiments raised by the chairperson of Human Settlement in Water and Sanitation to say if you are to allow department to do things casually as they have been doing, the IGP experience in the municipality, the same thing is going to happen. The case in point, like you have indicated with this current district development, the COVID-19, we are still experiencing the silos mentality if you check how people are responding to this COVID-19. Don't you think that it was an opportunity to showcase that this model is going to work? I'm raising this because there are areas wherein you still find a sector department that you were supposed to deliver or perform
They've not yet done that. And then people see it either in their district command council meeting or the provincial command council and complain. So then, whereas you have this model that has been launched by the president. So I'm reading this in line with the accountability part of it, because you know even in your district command meetings that people are attending, other departments are not attending. They just feel like today they come, tomorrow they don't come. And there's no mechanism in places, and then they will always fight. We are committed. And once they are committed, whereas there are plans and programs that they have implemented. I'll give you one case point in one of the district command council meetings that I've attended. There is this Department for Land, Rural and Development, that one. It has been in constant absence through the things. And then, whereas there is this program for social relief wherein they were supposed to be reporting to the district command council, how are they going to support this farmer? So there's no report in those district command council. Maybe they do it provincially, but my understanding when you're talking about the district development model is the district being the coordinator of all the government programs, wherein both provincial and local and provincial departments, including the local municipalities, come together and then implement projects collectively when they're accountable. So the issue of the accountability measures, that's the other issue. I'll also raise it in line with to say, if it's an accounting officer of the Department of, say, Water and Sanitation, they will still say, in terms of the powers vested in me. So that's why I'm saying without a legislative framework apart from the IGR, these regulations, I think they are very critical and very urgent. They should have been developed by now so that then you are able to regulate relationship and then provide for consequence management, as the other colleagues have raised. That's my input. Over to you, DDG Fosi.
Thank you, Chairperson. And thanks to all the honourable members for the questions and comments, Chair. I think the available inputs, Chair, in terms of assisting us to strengthen the implementation and sort of identify areas. Weak areas that we might need to really focus on as part of implementing the model. The maybe starting from yourself, Chair, going backward, there are quite a number of questions. Some are related, Chair, so I might not be able to respond to each and every question, but we'll try to group many of them. The issue of accountability, Chair, it is a very important point. And then the idea really behind the regulation is to ensure that IGR is actually, we actually strengthen the mechanisms that are envisaged in the cooperative governance framework, to ensure that there's accountability on the spheres as it relates to what they are expected to do at a municipal level. And of course, the framework will deal with the issues of aligning plans, but the plans on their own will require that we also look at administrative processes and systems that will enable the whole process of implementation of these plans. So the approach of dealing with issues of accountability also is to, so the one plans that are proposed, these are one plans that are going to express, Chair, clear commitments for a particular financial year. What is it that the municipality is planning to do? What is the province planning to do? What is national planning to do? And these plans are plans that are expressed already, Chair, in the APPs of national or provincial departments, but also the SDBs of municipalities. So the one plan provides then a framework of how do we hold people accountable So the model, the way it's actually conceptualized, it will provide transparency, because we will know, based on what is in the plan, the one plan, what are sector departments planning to do, what is the municipality itself. So it brings now more spotlight to also not just municipalities in terms of what they're supposed to do, but all the spheres in terms of their commitment. And then we will, of course, look at how we address, it will address issues of silos, because if there's clear commitment in the one plan. Just to say that the one plan, Chair, as I've indicated, is based on a comprehensive assessment of the state of development. So the profile that I referred to, information that informs those profiles, it's information from the SSA. So the demographic profiles, we're working very closely with the SSA. They've been able to give us information on all the 52 spaces. So in our Tambo, we know how many child and woman-headed households are there. We know how many levels of poverty across the district, the issue of youth unemployment, the structure of the economy, which sectors and how much they are contributing to the GDP of each. That information is information that is based on the stats from data from Status A. When we also look at the institutional capability. And that institutional capability, it will assess, will look at reports from the AG, it will look at reports from Treasury in terms of financial performance. We look at comprehensive assessment of infrastructure in these municipalities. So the profile, that's why the profile is the baseline, because it's informed by a comprehensive scientific sort of analysis of what is the state. And the one plan, it's therefore a response to that reality. And through these collaborative intergovernmental processes, we should be able to have a common and a shared plan of what needs to be done in each space. So there's no national sector national deciding what they want to do in a particular space or a provincial. But there's a process of saying, if we're talking about high levels of poverty in this area, these are the number profiles of women and child-headed households. We need to know what are they currently receiving from government and what intervention needs to be put in place based on the departments that are responsible for that area. The issue of infrastructure, it is the same approach, Chair. Based on the challenges that are there, what needs to be required, looking at the different grants that are within the national and provincial government. But the planning, it's a collaborative process, Chair, that appreciates that there's contributions of the three spheres in addressing, in a special targeted way, those challenges at the local level. So issues of the issue around planning. Planning is the most critical input into this process, because as I've indicated, we have three spheres that are planning, that are budgeting, and are implementing in the same space. And what the district model does, it's a vehicle, Chair, that enables cooperative governance now to ensure that as we plan, budget, and implement as the three spheres, we can then work on one common platform in terms of how we respond to the specific district to address in a more realistic way the challenges which the profile of each district would have actually amplified in terms of these are the key challenges that we need to deal with. And of course, the idea of how initially the IDPs were conceptualized, they were meant to actually do this. But as we know in practice, sector departments are not participating in those processes. And so the model now is bringing all spheres together to respond to this. And the issues of addressing the disparities between urban and rural, how we utilize the fiscals to respond to these realities, how we assist municipalities to generate income and address inequalities. All of this, what you are saying is that for the first time, the profile, because it's a baseline that must inform all of government in terms of how they plan, the profile will tell us what is the state of development of each area. And it's a comprehensive profile that looks at both economic, social, infrastructure. But the plans must respond to that reality. So we have now a clear approach of how do you address the urban-rural interface and the continuum, how do you address the linkages between rural and urban areas, but also what are the interventions that you need to implement to address the rural component. So there was a question about what are we doing with the 80% youth unemployment in Oartam. The Department of Rural Development, through a program called NARISEC, are training youth there on different areas, in terms of farming, animal health, and also mechanics in terms of fixing tractors and so on. And they're going to be given startup material so that they, when they go back to their communities, they can actually start engaging in economic activities. And these are plans already that sectors are implementing. We are working closely through this process with all the departments so that when we talk about the one plan, it's not every sector department now is required to indicate concretely what are they doing in their specific district. And the issue of special budgeting, Chair, you can as Parliament also...
Yes. 4 o'clock, we are getting into another meeting. I hope you are aware.
Yes, and
I see you are mindful of that. And I see there's a lot of issues that you still need to respond to. Can we agree? Because isn't that member still needs to connect to the other meeting? So that I finalize the... Can we agree that all these outstanding questions as raised, you'll submit them in writing latest by end of business on Monday to both committee secretaries, the helicopter one and the human settlement one, so that we try to wrap up this meeting, because there are some issues that I need to attend to before closing this meeting, that it being the... which secretary is ready to summarize, but he won't summarize because we are not yet there. That summary will be done in the form of being a written forum. To say, but basically, listening from the contribution of all the members, the plight is that let's not just continue to put on structures that are not functional. As the issue of the regulations become very critical. And then Honorable Mvana said this is a very good model. We all agree it's a good model, but it needs both political and administrative willpower to make sure that things happen. Then people don't operate adequately. So we then want an instrument in the form of a regulation that will then enforce accountability. So we are agreeing in principle that you are going to then write all the outstanding questions, and out of that we will then formalize the conclusion of the meeting, the final full recommendation. Colleagues, being that the case, I just want now again to confirm the attendance of the members of this joint committee meeting. Honorable Ngwezi is present. Honorable Shelly Mukhoto is present. Honorable Nancy Sihlayi is present. Honorable Seki is present. Honorable Mutala is present, and then Honorable Husseini is present.
Honorable Mamkize is present.
I'm busy mentioning name Mamkize. Don't interject me.
Okay.
Honorable Husseini is present.
Honorable Mukalipi is present. Honorable Khurnevar is present. Honorable Mankize, you are present. Honorable Kheza is present. Honorable Mvana is present. And the Honorable Kheza is present. And the Honorable Chairperson and the two chairpersons, they are all present. Did I miss somebody? I need to take a cow down there then to give it in. I know. My apologies, Ndabe Zita. Where are you? Let's see your face.
You are progressive.
Ndabe Zita, where are you?
The corner.
Okay. My apologies. I don't know what happened. Okay, my apologies. I will confirm Honorable Nkosi Lutuli, you are present. And
Honorable Mpumza.
Finally. The late Jonah.
Honorable Mpumza.
Oh, okay.
Finally, our whip chair.
The way forward is that
I'm going to
present all those submissions in writing. They were still going to hold the meeting together. Who's talking while I'm talking? I'm saying let's conclude in this session, colleagues. We're still going, like, this is the matter that will be on our agenda is we hold our joint meeting. To also then we'll be doing the oversight to assess whether this model DDG for is working. We'll continue to engage with you on this matter. The meeting gets adjourned, Honorable Ngwezi. Thank you so much for your time, colleagues. Let's rush to the next meeting so that I go to the next meeting. EWS, thank you.
Thanks, Chairperson.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir.